right, welcome to Shirt Foundation Baptist Church. Everybody, please grab your hymn books and turn to Song 389. Song 389. Bring them in. Song 389 in your hymn books. Bring them in. On the first. Hark, 'tis the shepherd's voice I hear. Out in the desert, dark and drear, calling the sheep who've gone astray, far from the shepherd's fold away. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the wandering into Jesus. Who'll go and help this shepherd kind? Help him the wandering ones to find. Who'll bring the lost ones to the fold, where they'll be sheltered from the cold? Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Out in the desert, hear their cry. Out on the mountains, wild and nigh. Hark, 'tis the Master's peace for thee. Go find my sheep where'er they be. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus. All right, good singing. Brother Mackey, please open us up with a word of prayer. Amen. All right, next song is going to be song 116. 116 in your hymn books. He leadeth me. Song 116. He leadeth me. 116. On the first. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, for by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometime where Eden's flowers bloom, by water still or troubled sea, still 'tis his hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Lord, I would clasp thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur nor repine. Content whatever lot I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me.
faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory's won, in death's cold waves I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me.
All right, great singing. Now we're going to have some announcements.
All right, welcome back to Shure Foundation Baptist Church Sunday afternoon service. And we had how soul winning time with two salvations. Praise the Lord for that. And let's look at the verse of the week, Isaiah 57, verse 15. The Bible says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." And that's the recipe for revival, is to come to God with a humble heart, for him to heal you, for him to strengthen you, and not by listening to those extra-biblical one-liners, okay? Although my lung still hurt, you know, 5 minutes after the service this morning, because, you know, that's a, you know, that's painful to read. But although I did, you know, in no way compare to the OG preacher when he did it. So anyway, let's look at the inside page. We have Sunday morning service at 11, Sunday afternoon service at 4, and Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. And this Wednesday we'll be going through the first portion of Acts chapter 13, the beginning of Paul's first missionary journey. And we have soul winning Saturday morning at 10:30 and Sunday afternoon at 1:30 p.m. Upcoming events, save the day for the fall picnic, our fall fellowship. That will take place on October 3rd. And then the next Sony Marathon is the Purdue West Lafayette campus on August 22nd. And please be mindful, that is the Saturday before the opening. They are doing the orientation, so we are expecting a packed campus. So maybe show up early for the parking. They do have parking garage, and they do have neighborhood free parking. So just maybe show up early just to find a parking spot for that. And, you know, the exact details about the meetup locations, lounge location, is you know, in the it's on godresource.com. The church will be supplying the lounge and not breakfast. So, and then we are going to Detroit on September 5th. That will be a wonderful time. And then we are going back to Notre Dame, the Catholic campus, on September 19 and 26. Evansville is on October 31st, and finish up our year with Winter Wonderland on December 26th. So almost finishing up the year. So next year will be great, because I'm already, you know, planning on some of the Sony marathons. So that'll be cool. Also, the last Sunday afternoon this month, August 30, we'll have a men's preaching event. Any man who wants to preach, please let me know prior to that, and that'll be a great time for you to practice preaching. And then let's look on the back side. Joshua's birthday is on the 15th. That's Saturday, right? So let's sing happy birthday to Joshua's 2-1. All right. All right. Let's do this. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. All right. Congratulations. Let's sing one more song, and then we'll take up the offering.
All right. Next song is going to be song 143. Song 143, Blessed Assurance. Song 143 in your hymn books. 143 on the first.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
All right, everybody, amazing singing. Now we're going to have the offering. Brother Stephen, can you please pray for the offering?
Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the free salvation school we went to you, Lord, this afternoon. Pray, God, you bless the tithes and offering for you to further your gospel and more hearing your best and
pray. Amen.
Okay, turn to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2 reads, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid, searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom; out of his mouth cometh understanding." Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thy heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things, to leave the paths of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, to rejoice who rejoice to do evil and delight in the forwardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they forward in whose ways are crooked and they forward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men, and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Brother Dustin, would you pray for us?
Father God, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for the preaching, your word that's received by us, God. I'm grateful again for the salvations that we have today, Lord. I ask that you bless this preaching. Let us apply it through our lives and be changed for the better for it. God, we just want to give you the glory for all of it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Howdy, church. My sermon title is The Strange Woman. And the Bible talks about a lot about the strange woman. So let me open up my Bible. Yeah, we're in Proverbs 2. My sermon title is The Strange Woman. And my, you know, the Bible talks a lot about the strange woman, especially in Proverbs, right? It's all over Proverbs. It talks about, men of God in the past, in the Old Testament, going after strange women and, you know, wrecking up their lives, really. And it's a big problem in the world in the past, and it's a big problem today, right? The strange woman's on every corner, the Bible says. I run into a strange woman all the time, out in soul winning, out in life, just being on my phone, even, right? She's everywhere, right? And the Bible gives us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to be able to fight the strange woman, right? To stay on the good path, right? And so she doesn't take us off that good path, right? And my first point is wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, just the chapter before. Verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So what we need to do in defense of the strange woman is to understand what knowledge is, where knowledge comes from, right? And the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, right? And in Proverbs 9:10, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding, right? So the Bible tells us what knowledge, wisdom, and understanding is. Right, and it's the fear of the Lord, right? And what is the fear of the Lord? The Bible describes that in Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy in the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. Right, so wisdom, knowledge, and understanding is the fear of the Lord, and the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, right? So how do you know what to hate, right? What is evil, right? Well, it's whatever God hates, right? Whatever God hates, right? That's where wisdom, knowledge, and understanding comes from, right? If you understand what God hates, right, you should hate it too, right? And that's a big problem in this world, right? And not just the world, but within Baptist churches is what God hates is not preached in churches, right? So, and this is like basic Christianity, right? This is like Christianity 101, right? And this is not being preached, right? That's a huge problem. And that's why the strange woman is just racking in the kills, right? Her kill streak is just infinite at this point, right? Because Baptist preachers are not preaching wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, where they come from, basic Christianity, these are fundamental things, right? And we're a fundamental Baptist church, right? We should understand the fear of the Lord. We should understand what God hates. And we should be on God's side at all times, right? We should hate the thing, hate the things that God hates, right? How to understand what God hates, right? And in Proverbs 2, it gets into that. Look down at your Bibles, chapter 2. My son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, right? So you need to, if you want to understand what God hates, you need to understand God's commandments, right? You need to be reading your Bible, right? And then verse 2, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. Look how it's like, it's just back and forth. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding, right? The knowledge of the holy is understanding, right? If you understand the holy, if you understand what God hates, right, you have that knowledge, right? And then the wisdom is applying that knowledge, right? If you have the knowledge, if you have the understanding and you don't apply it, it's not a wise thing to do, right? You're going to fall short, right? You're going to be taken off the good path. The strange woman's going to get you, right? And it's not just a strange woman. You could apply this to any aspect of the Bible, right? Or of life, right? You can rip this out and be like, hey, you know, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding is a good thing. Understanding what God hates, right, is a good thing for your marriage, right? So you can stay away from the things that would destroy your marriage, right? Or destroy your productivity at work, right? Your reputation, even, right? It's not just a strange woman, but this is, the strange woman is a huge problem, right? And there's defenses. God gives us these things, and we should be reading our Bibles to understand these things. And verse 4, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding, right? So, it comes from the Lord, right? Understanding what he hates, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding come from the Lord, right? It's not going to... And we find the Lord in the King James Bible, right? We should be reading our Bibles. I can't emphasize that enough, right? Because it's not preached, right? It's just not preached today, right? Maybe in New Life churches, it is preached, right? It's very few. But then... Verse 7, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He's a buckler to them that walk uprightly. So you not only need to be reading your Bible, you need to understand the knowledge, you need to apply in these things, but you actually need to be walking uprightly, right? And the only way to walk uprightly is to understand what God hates, right? And what God wants you to do, right? And that the only way to do that is to be in your Bible, right? To be in church, right? Verse 8, he keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path, right? So you'll have good judgment. You'll understand bad judgment because you'll understand what God hates, right? So by understanding what God hates, like bad judgment, right, you'll understand what good judgment is, right? By looking at your Bible, understanding these things, and applying these things. And then equity, right? You won't be a respecter of persons, right? You won't be deceived in that area, right? And that's a huge problem in our world today. Yeah. Yea, every good path, right? And there's one way in truth and life, right? There's only one way to heaven, right? The Bible's talking about a physical path, right? Like, you know, walking staying on the good path as a Christian, as a saved person. But the way, the truth, and life is the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And every wrong path, right, is attacking that righteous way, that good way. Right. And verse 10, when wisdom entereth in thy heart and knowledge is pleasant in thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. Right. And I'm preaching on the strange woman. Right. She's trying to take us off the good path. And God is saying in the Proverbs that wisdom, when wisdom entereth into thy heart and knowledge is pleasant in thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. Right. These are defenses against the strange woman. Now, jump down to chapter 3, verse 1. It starts again, my son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life, peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Right. Again, it just, the Bible emphasizes keeping the Lord's commandments, right? Understanding what God hates and getting away from that, right? If you understand what God hates, you should stay away from that. It's just, it's that simple, right? This is a very simple concept, right? But I don't want to skip over this. I don't want to skim over this. I want people to understand this, that this is like the beginning of wisdom. This is the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of understanding, right? You need to understand what God hates and what he likes, right? Emphasizing on the what God hates, right? Because that is just not preached, right? The love of God is preached all day long. The mercy of God, the grace of God, right? But you're not going to understand, you're not going to really understand mercy, grace, and truth if you don't understand God's wrath, right? What is God's wrath, right? What is hell? It's God's wrath, right? He's more wrathful than I could ever be, right? In comparison to my wrath, it's nothing. It's dust, right? Have I thrown anybody into hell? Have I burned someone for all of eternity? No, I have not, right? Like, God has done that for billions of people, right? And that's the truth. That's our God. He's a wrathful God, but he's a righteous God, right? All the people in hell, they deserve to be in hell, right? They had their chance. They're in hell. Piss on them, right? Yeah, I could feel bad, right, for the people that are unsaved, right? That's why I go soul winning so much, because I don't want that to happen to them, right? But they get their chance. And I want them to have the best chance possible, right? That's why I want to understand what God hates. I want that knowledge of what God hates. I want it, and that wisdom to apply it, right? So I can live a righteous life, stay on that good path. The strange woman doesn't take me off that path, right? So I can give people a good chance to get saved and not have to suffer God's wrath for all of eternity, right? And it's important we internalize these things. In verse 5, this is a key verse. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding, right? This is a verse that I hear all the time, but I don't think like people just really apply this. And actually in verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths, right? That's, it goes along with trusting in the Lord, right? Not, you acknowledge him and not just in some ways, but all of your ways, right? Everything that you do in your day-to-day life, right? Deuteronomy 6, it talks about when thou risest up, when thou goest about thy way, when thou liest down. To me, that means all day, right? All day, every day, right? All day, every day, I got the Lord on my mind, and I'm acknowledging him in everything that I'm doing, right? And I want to trust in the Lord and not lean on my own understanding, right? If I lean on my own understanding, then I'm not going to have that knowledge, understanding, wisdom of what God hates. I'm going to fall, right? Verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil, right? That's what the fear of the Lord is departing from that evil, right? You understand what God hates, you depart from it, right? This is simple stuff, right? But we need this. We need this preached because the strange woman, she's subtle. She's smart. The Bible talks about the men of this world being wiser than the children of God, right? We need to be wise in the Bible. We need to be wise in what God hates. We need to understand these things. This should be on the tip of our tongue. This is a fundamental thing, right? And that's my first point. My second point is the flattery of the strange woman. Look down at Proverbs 2, verse 16. To deliver thee from the strange woman. What is delivering you, right? Wisdom, knowledge, understanding, right? God, he's going to deliver it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thy own understanding. That is what's going to deliver you from the strange woman. Continue on. Even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, right? Turn to Proverbs chapter 7. And flattering is just puffing somebody up, right? It's a lie, right? It's just like if I were to go to Brother Wade and be like, you know, Brother Wade, I was almost going to say, like, you're so handsome, but that's super gay. I'm not going to say it. But like, you know, like, it would be like a lie that I would tell Brother Wade, right, to puff him up. Something that's not true. Something that I actually don't believe, but I'm flattering him, right? Did I say something mean? I didn't mean to say anything mean. I actually enjoy Brother Wade, right? That's not flattery. That's truth. I enjoy Brother Wade's company. I love Brother Wade, right? I miss him, you know, when it's Saturday and it's like I haven't seen Brother Wade in a week, right? It sucks, right? And sometimes, like, I was thinking about that this week. This is not on my sermon, but it's just like, I was thinking about this week, right? I miss the people here all the time, right? Because I see you once a week, twice a week even, right, sometimes. Or we have a marathon, right? But, like, Brother Brad, right, I see him, like, 5 times a week, right? I see him all the time, right? So I don't miss him, right? So I don't think about those things. I take him for granted sometimes, right? And I really got to change that, right? And I discovered that this week. But like with Brother Wade, like if I were to tell him that something that's, you know, something that about him that I don't actually believe, and I'm trying to puff him up so I can, you know, take advantage of him, right? That's flattery, and that's what the strange woman is very good at, right? Flattery, right? You're in chapter 7. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. See, same thing, right? Same thing throughout Proverbs, right? Keep my commandments with thee, right? Incline thy ear unto wisdom, right? Unto my words. Verse 2, keep my commandments and live. My law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding my kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Right? That's how the strange woman will come to you. Right? She will come with lies. Right? She'll try to entice you. Right, and not just, you know, not just like the woman on the corner, but online, right? There's a lot of weird stuff going on online with AI, with like people creating girlfriends, and right, that's a version of the strange woman. That's some weird stuff, right? Like I couldn't imagine finding my son, like, you know, interacting with an AI woman and having like a relationship with. That's what these people are doing, right? Ortho bros. In verse 6, this is some of the flattery, right? For at the window of my house, I looked through the casement and beheld among the simple ones, right? Among the simple ones, discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding, right? She's hunting, right? She's hunting for that prey, right? The vulnerable person, right? And she sees among the simple ones, right? The retards, right? The young men that don't are void of understanding. Right? What does that mean? Defenseless. Right? They don't understand what God hates. They don't have the knowledge of the hatred of God. So if they don't have those things, they don't have the wisdom to apply it. Right? And so she comes right in and she destroys this young man's life. Right? That's what she's going to do. And that's why we should surround ourselves with people that aren't simple. Right? We should surround ourselves with people that believe the Bible, believe the King James Bible, that go soul winning, that are faithful to God, that want to stay on that good path, right? We want to be around those people, right? Wise people. We don't want to be among the simple ones, right? Because we're going to become simple ourselves if we are surrounded by simple ones. And we don't want to be void of understanding. Defenseless. And then verse 8, passing through the street near her corner, he went the way to her house, and in the twilight of the evening, in the black and dark of night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. Right? And I'm going to focus on, for right now, the subtle of heart. The Bible talks about, you know, us being subtle, as wise as serpent, wise as serpents, right? We should be wise as serpents. She's going to be wise in her ways. Right, she's going to be wiser than most men out there, right? Especially the world, right? But even Baptists, right? What strange women? They're subtle in heart. They can be wiser, right? They understand what you understand, right? That you're void of understanding, right? And she's going to try to come in, slip in, and destroy you. Turn to Proverbs chapter 5. Verse 3. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Same. That's the flattery, right? It's going to be like, oh, this is good. You're going to want to believe what she's saying, right? I had this one woman out soul winning, and I think I was with my daughter, right? And then this is a good example of why you should go 2x2, where you should be accountable while soul winning. You should go soul winning by yourself, right? I was out in Gary, and this is a big problem in Gary. There's a lot of strange women in Gary, right? There's a lot of women that want out of that situation, and they see a man void of understanding that might have the possibility of getting them out of that situation in Gary, right? They're going to pounce on that, right? And that's a big thing in the hood, right? And we're going to run into that, right? So that's why we need to be going two by two. But I had this woman where, like, these two women, right? And I'm preaching the gospel to them. I'm trying to, like, feel if they are saved. The one was very uninterested. She ended up walking away. And the one was trying to, like, standoffish, right? She was already saved. She was a Baptist woman, right? But then I, like, started talking to her about, like, why she's not going to church, why she's not soul winning, that she should come with us when we come here once a month. Maybe she should come out with us, right? And then she's, like, complimenting my, how beautiful my daughter is. And I'm not thinking anything of it, right? She's like, oh, she has beautiful eyes. She's like, oh, you have beautiful eyes, too. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm like, all right, so. So I'm like, all right, red flag. And I'm just like, all right, I'll just keep going or whatever. And she's like, oh, yeah, where's the missus? And I'm like, oh, red flag, too. She's asking where the wife is, right? Then she touched my shoulder. And I'm like, all right, time to get out of here, right? And I'm like, thank God Brad's right there, because I'm running to Brad. I'm like, nope, I'm getting out of here. I'm not getting in this situation. I'm with my daughter, right? I don't want her seeing or hearing what she's about to say, because I know what she's about to do, right? She was just, yeah, she's a strange woman, right? And that's going to happen to our soul winning, right? We're going to come in, we're going to meet those strange women. That's why it's important we go two by two. The Lord didn't just send his disciples out two by two for no reason, right? We need to be held. One, we need to be held accountable, right? Let's say, like, one of us was in that situation, right? And we were weak. We were on that good path. We were void of understanding, and that woman pounces, and we become her prey, right? Two, she could falsely accuse us, right? That's a terrible thing, right? They drop as a honeycomb. Her mouth is smoother than oil, right? She was saying the things that, you know, about me that I personally think are true. But, you know, like, you know, stroking my ego. And it's just like, I understand what this is, right? This is bad. Turn to Judges chapter 14. Judges chapter 14, 15, 16, about Samson, right? And we know that story of Samson, but I'm going to go through the story of Samson because it's important, right? Maybe there's somebody in here that is just void of understanding, right? Like, we need to preach the whole counsel of God, and it's not grievous unto me to do it, right? Verse number 1 in chapter 14, and Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath, of the daughter of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she is she pleaseth me well. Right? So Samson's in looking in all the wrong places for a wife, right? He's looking among the strange women, the Philistines, right? They're strange women because they have a strange God, right? They're the uncircumcised, right? And his father and mother are right by telling him, is there never a woman among my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised, right? He should be looking for a wife, a godly wife, a wife that wants to serve God, to stay on that good path, not a strange woman, right? And children, listen up, look forward. This is an important thing, right? You should be listening to your mother and father's counsel on who you're marrying, right? And who you're dating. They're wiser than you. Right, Samson did not do that. And how did Samson's end? How did his life end up? Right. Now God used it for good. Right. And verse 4, no, verse 5, no, yeah, verse verse 4, but his father and mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Now, that doesn't mean that God wanted this to happen. It doesn't mean that he wanted Samson to go after the strange woman, right? No, it means that God was looking for a fight, right? He wanted to fight the Philistines, right? He wanted to beat them up. You know, and where we started in Proverbs 2, Proverbs 1 and verse 7, right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction, right? And then in verse 8 of that, it says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother, right? If Samson would have just listened to his father and mother and their wise counsel, right? Instead of despising wisdom and instruction, right? It would have saved him a lot of grief. And that's true for us now, right? I wish I would have listened to my parents a lot more. My dad always said this thing. I hated it at the time. But now I appreciate it because it saved my siblings a lot of grief, right? Jared is the example of what not to do, right? I hated it at the time, but I was like, it's true, right? And it saved my brothers a lot of grief. It saved my sister a lot of grief. It's like, don't go the way that Jared is going in this direction, right? And it had a lot to do with strange women. Right, it caused a lot of grief for me. If I would have just listened to my father and my mother and their wise counsel, right, they tried their best, right? They tried to hold me down and not and make sure that I, you know, did not do the things that I was going to do anyway, right? Well, same as Samson, right? Turn to Judges chapter 16. And in verse 1, then went Samson into Gaza and saw there a harlot and went in unto her. Like, this dude is just, like, he's seeking the strange woman and he's just like, look, there she is, and goes right after her, right? He's void of understanding, right? He's just going after what he sees in the world and it's destroying his life. And then in verse 4, and it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. Also a strange woman, right? How did that end up, right? She betrayed him, right? It ended up, he sought out the strange woman, right? He refused to stay on the good path. He refused to listen to his parents' counsel, right? The Bible says that we should mark the perfect man, right? If your father, right, is on the good path, you should listen to your father, right? You should listen to your father regardless, right? But even more so, if you're in this church, your parents care about you. Right? Cooper, look up front. If you're in this church, your parents care about you. Right? And this sermon's for the congregation. Right? I don't want anybody falling off. Because I want as many souls saved as possible. Right? And the strange woman is a big thing. Right? It took down the judge, Samson. Lost my place, sorry. And Delilah. Right? She was subtle in what she was doing, right? She was trying to find out the secret to Samson's strength, and it ended up his hair's cut, right? He's taken by the Philistines. His eyes are plucked out. They make sport of him, right? That means they're just they're making fun of him. They're using him for entertainment, right? And then he ended up killing himself, right? God gave him that strength back to take out more Philistines. God still used him in a mighty way, but his life ended up just in a terrible mess from beginning to end, right? He did wicked things, and we should learn from these stories. We should learn from Samson and go and understand what God hates. We should have the knowledge of what God hates and wisdom to apply that and stay away from what God hates, the strange woman. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 7. Verse 21. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, and a bird hasteneth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. It sounds an awful lot like Samson, right, and Delilah, right? He went into strange women, and he just went into it, right? And the first verse in chapter 16, he sees a harlot, and he's just like, I'm going to go into her. It's just void of understanding, right? He's just going in to be slaughtered, right? And verse 24, hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Right? It's almost like she's sin, right? Like, for the wages of sin is death. If you go after the strange woman, death. Right? That's what you should expect. Right? It's going to be hell for you on earth. Right? Many strong men. Samson was a strong man. Right? That's how he's described. Where he's going around with a jawbone just killing people. Right? How many did he kill? I forget the number. Yeah. I don't know. It's thousands. I feel like it's thousands or hundreds. But I couldn't do that. I'd be exhausted. Right? We're playing dodgeball. Like, you throw that ball a couple times, you play dodgeball for a couple hours, your arm is hurting from just that ball of air. Right? He's got a jawbone, he's hitting people with it and killing them. Right? What? Thousand. 1,000 people, right? So if he hit 1,000 people with a jawbone, 1,000 people with a jawbone, that's at least 1,000 swings. That's crazy. That's how I interpret the story. That's how I imagine that story. It's a cool story. Many strong men have been slain by her, right? Samson was slain, right? And moving on to my third point, defenses against the lying whore. Turn to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39, starting in verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had, he put into his hand. So Joseph's a man that is on the good path. He's trusting in the Lord, right? He's in a bad situation, right? And the Lord makes a bad situation a good situation, right? He's at Potiphar's house. He's being blessed, right, with actual authority, right? To the point where Potiphar is just like, you know, food's appearing in front of him, right? He basically doesn't have to work, do anything, right? The bread is put in front of him. He's eating. He's enjoying his life. He's doing what he needs to do, right? But he doesn't have to worry about the overseer of his house, right? He's giving this all into Joseph's hand. In verse 7, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as he spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie with her or to be with her. All right, so Joseph's trying his best, right, to stay away from the strange woman that is in this house, right? And it's not just the single ladies out there, right? It's not just the baby mamas that just have a flock of kids, right? It's actually, you know, some men's wives, right, that we need to watch out for, right? God hates fornication, but he hates adultery too, right? It's disgusting. Don't think you're just safe with somebody else's wife, being alone with somebody else's wife, right? Same with women. Don't think you're safe just being alone with some other man, right? Don't put yourself in those situations. Actually have boundaries, right? And what ends up happening to Joseph is, you know, that boundary was not set, right? In verse 11, and it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into that house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass when he saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth. Right? So Joseph did the right thing. He got out of there. Right? The Bible says flee fornication. Right? He was in a situation. He knew that he might fold. Right? He got out of there. Right? He didn't want to be in that situation with that wife, with that strange woman. And that's one of the defenses that we have, right? Just avoid the strange woman, right? Flee fornication, right? If you find yourself in the situation that I was in Gary, right? Once I realized that what this woman was, what she was doing, right? You get out of there, right? Sometimes, because you don't know that you're not going to be able to, that you're going to be able to withstand that temptation, right? Like, when I saw the woman, like, she was a very beautiful woman that I was looking at that was complimenting me, right? I got out of there, right? I didn't know what was going to happen, what was, you know. I feel like I have confidence in myself that I'm not going to do that. I love my wife. I love my children. I love my God. I'm not going to betray my God, right? And in verse 17, and she spake unto him according to these words, saying, "The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled." Right? She's lying. Right? And that's what these strange women do. They're lying whores. Right? She's trying to whore herself out behind her husband's back to Joseph. Right, to take him off the good path, and she's lying when she doesn't get what she wants. Right, she's going to try to destroy his life. And in verse 20, and Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. Right, he's thrown into prison. Right, bad judgment is being dealt out because of this strange woman. Right, because he didn't set up that boundary. We should stay away from these lying whores. We should stay away from the strange woman. Don't put yourself in situations where someone can lie about you and there's no other witnesses. Right? Again, back to the 2x2. Right? Out soul winning. You don't go by yourself. Right? It's dangerous. Right? There's a reason why the Lord says the things that he says. Right? He doesn't just waste breath. Right? And, you know, the Lord made this, made this situation for his good, right? He ended up thrown into prison, but the Lord was still with him, right? He was still on that good path, right? He was trying his best. He was doing what needed to be done. But everybody makes mistakes, even Joseph, right? Even or Samson, clearly, right? Especially the strange woman. The strange woman is subtle in heart. She's wise. In a lot of areas, right? Sure, there's some dumb ones. And there's also dumb Christians, right? But there's a lot of wise ones, right? They're in this room, right? That's why I'm here. I want to be wise. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 7. I should just have you keep your finger there since we keep going back. But yeah, keep your finger in there if we turn away. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 8. Passing through the street near her corner, and she went by the way of her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black, in the dark of the night. I'm going to stop right there. We don't go soul winning out in dark, right? Like, I think of all the situations that me as a Christian, since I've been in as a Christian, when I'm out at night, out doing, you know, like going out to eat or, you know, hanging out with the brethren or whatever. And we're put in situations that we normally would not be put in if we were just out at day, right? Like in Detroit, Brother Eliud and I went with Brother Eric from Faithful Word. We went out, and we were in Detroit. We went out to eat. We were just trying to fellowship because we only have a limited amount of time to fellowship, right? So we decided to go out at 1 in the morning, right, to go out to eat, right? Who else is at 1 in the morning, right? The strange woman, right? Other wicked people, right? Christians, in my personal opinion, should not be out at the dark of night at 1 in the morning, you know, basically, you know, partying it up and doing all these things, right? And we're just eating. We're just trying to eat and have fellowship with Brother Eric, right? And then what comes up? A sodomite, right? Trying to say, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm not going to get into what he said. It's disgusting, right? But, like, we wouldn't be in that situation if we were just, you know, not be out at night doing, you know, doing that. We could probably fellowship at the hotel that we're saying at, right? But we just wanted to go have fellowship, have fun, right? No, we can have fun during the day, right? Because most of the time when I was, you know, single and a heathen, right, I was going out at night. I was sleeping during the day, going out at night. Because what happens at night, right? The strange women are there, right? The drunkenness, the fornication, right? All the things that God hates, right? A young Jared was void of understanding, right? My dad is right when he said that Jared is the example of what not to do, right? He was that young man void of understanding among the simple ones, right? Because all my friends were just the same way, right? And thank God I was spared a lot of the grief that the strange woman, you know, brings, right? Some of my friends were not so lucky, right? The example of what not to do, right? Listen to your parents, stay out, don't go out at night at 1 in the morning, right? Where the sodomites are, where the strange woman is likely there, right? When I drive down Lincoln Way, right, where I used to live on Lincoln Way, it was the average of 3 muggies a night in South Bend, right? I used to drive down Lincoln Way, and there's just harlot, actual whores along the street, right? They're not there during the day. They're there at night, right? In verse 10, while he's out at night, the young man, verse 10, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. And subtle just means crafty, wiser, like I've said over and over again. She's wiser than this young man, right? And look how she dresses, like a harlot. And this is God describing this, a harlot, right? So that means there's an attire of a harlot, right? There's something that a woman can wear that she looks like a harlot. That's not my opinion. That's God. That's what he's saying, right? Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And God has some things to say on how we should dress, how we should carry ourselves, right? The clothes we should be wearing. I mean, he just said there, an attire of a harlot. I don't want my daughters looking like a harlot. I don't want my wife looking like a harlot. Yeah. So maybe I should understand what God hates, right? And go after, like, what he likes, right? How women should dress, right? I should counsel my daughters how they should dress according to what God's word says, right? In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up the holy hands without doubting. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women for professing godliness with good works. Let women learn in silence with all subjections, right? And he goes on to say that, you know, women should not be, you know, suffered to teach, allowed to teach in the church, or usurp authority over the man, right? And I want to emphasize verse 9, right? Adorn themselves in modest apparel, right? Modest meaning you're not trying to grab attention, right? Like the strange woman does, right? Where she's showing off what she looks like underneath her clothes, right? With shamefacedness and sobriety. You should be sober, right? You should be not broided with hair or gold, pearls, costly array, right? You're not trying to draw attention to yourself in that way, right? In a sexual manner or in a manner where, like, you're trying to draw, like, get basically just get attention, right? And the Bible goes on to talk about, like, you know, covering our thighs, where God sees our... I won't get into it for the time's sake, but it talks about, like, the saints, right? We should be covering our thighs, right? Our dresses should be long as women, right? And we should be wearing... Men, we should be covering our thighs, our groin area, right? We shouldn't be trying to draw attention from the opposite sex in those, and tempting, right, the opposite sex in those, in that manner, right? That's a wicked thing to do. We shouldn't be dressing in the attire of a harlot, right? We should study God's word, right? Understand what he hates for us to wear, right? And understand what we should wear. And turn back to Proverbs 7. And this is, and my point is, defenses against the lying whore, right? Against the stranger, the strange woman, right? We should know that she's subtle in heart. She's a liar. She flatters, right? And she'll even say that, you know, this, the, what we're about to do is good, right? This is actually not bad, right? Look at verse 14. I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face. I have found thee. And she just met this guy, right? And she's just like, no, it's good. It's good that you're going to come with me, right? She just finds this one dude. She didn't even know his name, likely, right? And that's a big thing out there, right? There's apps where you can just meet up people that you've never met before. You don't even know their real name, right? You don't know if they're married or nothing, right? And you're just giving out your address and you're meeting up with these people, right? There's whole... I'm not going to get into it, but like there's whole applications on your phone where you can just meet strange women, right? Just like the women, they can meet whoremongering men, strange men, right? It's wickedness, right? But she's, I have peace offerings with me this day. I have paid my vows, right? She's lying that it's, you know, love, right? That they're about to do. She's lying that it's good. And I was like, well, no, God will never have a problem with this, what we're about to do, right? It's just a natural thing. Right, men want to be with women, and women want to be with men. She's lying, right? She's a lying whore, and you should understand this about the strange woman. Verse 16: I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, and carved works with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves, for the good man is not at home; he is gone on a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him, and will not come home at the day appointed. She's calling it love. Fornication is not love, folks. Right? Like young women, young men in this church, like if a woman wants to do that with you, if she wants to commit fornication, right? That's not love. Right? That's lust. Now, she might say it's love. She might even mistake it as love, right? But it is lust. Right? It is sin. It's something God hates. Stay away from it. Right? Shamefacedness and sobriety, right? Godliness, showing good works, right? A woman that is in church serving God, that's the woman that you want, right? Not the strange woman that just wants to fornicate with you as soon as she sees you, right? And you know what? The young man is at fault as well, right? There's no excuse to be void of understanding, especially today when you have the full King James Bible, the full counsel of God right here that you can read, right? And it's a fifth grade reading level, right? People complain to me all the time where it's like the King James Bible is hard to read, but it's basically like the only thing I read nowadays. So like I'll read like, you know, like manga and stuff like that to entertain myself a little bit, but mainly it's just the Bible, right? Because I want to stay on that good path, right? I want to stay soul winning. I want to, just like Paul, right? I want to reach the end and say that, hey, I run a good race, right? I've kept the faith. I want to win as many souls as Christ as possible, right? And the strange woman I grew up in the world, right? The strange woman is a big temptation, right? And it's not just, you know, like when I'm talking to women out there and stuff like that, right? When you knock some doors, you have no idea what you're going to get when that door opens, right? And the amount of women that have opened the door, dressed the way they are, it surprises me, right? I would be horrified if my wife did some of that, right? It just opening the door to a big bearded man, right? As a woman, and you're dressed like that. Like, where is your mind? Like, that is just nonsense. Like, I can't believe how stupid some people are. It's just like, you're just asking for a crime to happen, right? You know what? God hates rape, too. Right? There'd be a whole lot less rape if women dressed appropriately, right? And actually set up boundaries and didn't open their door to strange men dressed that way. That's insane. Like, what if I was just some, like, sometimes I'm like, I look at myself in the mirror, I'm like, I'm just like a well-dressed homeless guy or something. Like, I'm like, why are you opening the door? Like, my beard's unkempt, my hair's crazy today. Like, why are you, like, sometimes I'm the question, like, thank God you opened the door because I can give you the gospel. But it's like, what about somebody else? Right? Use your brains. In 1 Thessalonians, you know, the young man is not at fault as well. Right? Back on point, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it reads, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. For God hath not called us to uncleanness, but holiness," right? Separation, right? Separate from that lifestyle, right? We should abstain from fornication. Get away from it, right? We're not going to participate in it, right? We should possess our vessels, our bodies, in sanctification and honor, right? If, let's say I were to commit fornication or adultery, right? That would destroy my reputation with all the converts that I have, right? They would not take me seriously. My boss, if people that I'm praying that get saved, that are around me all the time, that would destroy my reputation as a Christian, right? As a representative of Jesus Christ, right? Because that's what we're doing day in and day out, right? That's what the Bible says in Deuteronomy 6, when thou risest up, when thou goest about thy way, when thou liest down. All day, every day, trust in the Lord, lean on thy own understanding, right? We are abstaining from these things. We are possessing our vessels in sanctification and honor because we realize that we are representatives of Jesus Christ, right? And the strange woman is trying to take us down, right? And another defense is, especially for the single people in here, right? Men, you should find a wife, right? Not just wait around for a wife to come. You should actually go get a wife, right? Because if you find a wife, right, you find a good thing. It's a great thing, right? Getting married was one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life, right? It's given me so many blessings in my life, right? And you find favor with God, right? God will bless that, right? He'll bless you more, right? And you should be looking for not the strange woman. Turn to Proverbs chapter 5. I think we're in Proverbs 7, so you don't have to go very far. And my point in this part of the sermon is defenses against the lying whores, right? Finding a wife, right? Having a husband, right? Will help you in your Christian life, right? In verse 15, "Drink waters out of thy own cistern and running waters out of thy own well." When I first read that, I was like, okay, like, I have a well. Like, yeah, that's going to, yeah, I like my well water, right? But it's talking about, like, drinking, it's talking about your wife, right? In verse 16, "Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman, embrace the bosom of a stranger?" God does not want us with a strange woman. He wants us to get married. Right? There's a very select few of people that don't have this problem. Right? They don't want to be with the opposite sex, right? That's a very few, like Paul, right? He didn't struggle in this area, right? He could have had a wife. He even says that, right? But he But he doesn't need one, right? He was more profitable to God in that, in the manner that he was, right? But that's very few of us, yeah. Right? I don't know if it's that, if that person's in the room or not, right? But the Bible, God wants us to have a wife, right? If you're a woman, he wants you to have a husband, right? But the men need to find the wife, yeah. Right? We shouldn't be, the women shouldn't be usurping the authority of a man, right? And when it comes to marriage, boys, right? You could choose your wife, right? And you could either not take the counsel of your parents when it comes to marriage, right? It's like, hey, if let's say my son wants to go after a woman, right? And I think she's bad, right? I will give him counsel and be like, hey, she's bad. You should stay away from that, right? But he can still do that, right? He can still go after that person, right? He can still make that mistake, right? And I could choose whether or not to bless that marriage, right? I could choose to curse that marriage, right? And not, and just separate from it because he won't hearken unto my words, right? But daughters, they have no choice, right? If they want to marry somebody and I say no, that's a no. That's it, right? And children, you should listen to your parents in this. When you're choosing a wife, when you're choosing a husband, you should listen to your parents' wise counsel, right? Because they have your best interest at heart, right? They love you. Even the unsaved heathens that have children, they give their children wise counsel. Like, you know, my father, right? He wasn't saved when he gave me that counsel. Or my siblings that counsel, I should say, right? Jared is the example of what not to do, right? But drink waters out of their own cistern and running waters out of their own well, right? You should, let's say you're tempted in this area, right? Go home, right? Be with your wife, be with your spouse, right? You should be, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth, right? God has blessed you with a significant other, rejoice, right? Be with that person, enjoy that person. My wife is my best friend. Right? That's it. Sometimes we just like to sit alone from the kids, right? Maybe just go to the gas station for like 15 minutes alone, right? Because Cooper's finally at that age where he can be responsible and take care of some things, right? For 15 minutes, right? It's nice being around my wife. I like being around my wife, right? And she is my best friend, right? I confide everything with her, like all the problems that I have, all like, you know, in my walk with God, right? Because she's my helpmate. Right, she's going to help me, right? And let her be as the loving hind, pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love, right? The old IP doesn't like to preach on this stuff, but I enjoy my wife's company and more than just being best friends, right? She's my wife, right? I love her, right? She provides for me that area where the strange woman, right, is tempting me. Right, she's keeping me from the strange woman. Right, she's helping me by providing. You know, how do I put it? Yeah, benevolence. Right, and then the Bible says in the New Testament that we should not defraud one another. Right, if you should not keep that union away from your spouse. Right, it's why we're getting married. Right, so we're not. So when we're tempted, we have somewhere to go, right? We can drink waters out of our own well, right? And not out of a stranger's well. Go after the stranger's woman, a strange woman. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 11. That point was defense against the lying whore, right? Having a wife, having a spouse, right, is a good defense. Fleeing fornication, getting out of the situation, setting up good boundaries, not being alone with the opposite sex that's not your spouse, right? Those are good defenses. Having the knowledge and understanding of what God hates and having the wisdom to apply that, right? Right, in 1 Kings. There's so much Bible I couldn't put it on my tablet, so. First Kings chapter 11. We're going to talk about Solomon, the man that wrote the majority of the Proverbs, right? The things that we've been reading about the strange woman, right? About drinking water out of your own well, right? Out of your own cistern, right? And this is King Solomon, chapter 11, verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Zidonians, and the Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go unto them, neither shall they come unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after other gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. Right? Solomon went after many strange women. Right? He didn't take his own counsel. Right? He was wholly inspired. He was inspired to write the book of Proverbs. But did he take that to heart? Right? It didn't seem like it, because in verse 3, and he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned his heart away. Right? He went after strange women. He didn't. And if you look at Proverbs 1, it literally says the Proverbs of Solomon. Right? And how often is the strange woman brought up? And he still made this mistake. Right? And he was the wisest among men. Right? He was the wisest other than Jesus Christ that lived. Right? And he still made this mistake. He didn't apply the wisdom. Right? He didn't apply that knowledge and understanding of what God hates, and he went after the strange woman. Right? And he clave unto these in love. Right? We should cleave unto the Lord first. The Lord should be first always. Right? My wife, she's my best friend. I love her, with everything I have. But the Bible says that love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy mind, and with all thy soul. Right? In comparison to God, my wife is dust. Right? My children are dust. You people are dust. Right? I love you people. Right? I had to tell Lazarus this. I was like, look, Lazarus, I love you. You got me saved. You do all these things for me. You taught me so much Bible so early on, so I didn't make so many mistakes. But you are dust compared to God. You're nothing. Right? Because it's true. Right? I wouldn't have Lazarus. I wouldn't have that fruitful relationship with that person if God didn't create him. Right? I owe everything that I am to God, right? Everything that I have, every relationship that I have, like my relationship with my son, right? It's a beautiful relationship, right? It's a relationship that I always wanted, right? I love him, right? But he's dust compared to God. It's just that simple, because God gave me the gift that is Cooper, right? That is my wife, that is Lazarus, that is Evangelist Zong and Wade and Brother Rashid, right? Apparently I don't love Rashid that much. No, I do. Right? But we should clave unto the Lord, right? We should not replace the Lord with strange women, with strange wives, even with, godly people, right? We shouldn't have idols in our life that are people, right? And that's what Solomon did, right? In verse 5, for Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Right? These strange women turned his heart away from God, right? And unto idols, unto demons, unto devils, unto false gods, false religion. And that's my point. That's my next point. The strange woman is a representation of false religion. Right, that's what she's trying to do. She's trying to get you off that good path. But the physical application of Proverbs of the strange woman is literally, don't go in unto her, right? Don't fornicate. Don't commit adultery, right? Don't do these wicked things, these sins that God hates, right? But the spiritual application is, the strange woman represents false religion, right? And how much of the world has gone after strange religion, strange God? The strange woman, right? And that's what Solomon did. A lot of Baptists argue that, he wasn't like fully serving these gods and doing these things. And it's like, no, he was a child of God. He was saved. Once saved, always saved, right? Once you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that's it. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. He promised us that promise of eternal life. It's that simple, right? Solomon was a child of God, but he went after other gods, and that could be happening to us if we don't understand what God hates and stay away from what God hates, right? The strange woman, strange religion, strange gods, right? When I, I don't want to listen to false prophets preach. I hate it so much. It vexes me so much. I hate it so much, right? There's a reason why I listen to, like, a lot of new IFB preaching, right? And there's a plethora of it. I can never listen to all of it, right? It's been like 20 years of new IFB preaching, right? I don't think I'm even close to like scratching that itch, right? To get done with it, right? I even went back in with Evangelist Zong's like sermons online where he's just preaching like in his little office in his apartment and stuff. I listen to all of those. Like, I want that. I want good preaching. I want to seek out the righteous man and listen to them, right? I don't want to go after these false prophets and listen to what they have to say about the Bible, right? They're just going to teach me wicked stuff anyway. And that, you know, I'm not perfect, right? I can be deceived, right? I'm not God. I'm not the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? I don't have perfect discernment. Right. I'm going a little long, sorry, but turn to Revelation chapter 17. And King Solomon, he went after false gods. That doesn't mean that he wasn't saved. He got into false religion. Like, I know a guy that, you know, he's an older man. He married a woman, right? He married a strange woman, a Jehovah's Witness, right? He's saved. He married a Jehovah's Witness, and he's going to go to temple with these imbeciles. This strange woman with this strange religion, right? It can happen, right? And we don't want to fall into that. We have no idea what tomorrow brings. And we should be ready, right? We should have knowledge, wisdom, understanding. Here in Revelation chapter 17. And my point is that the strange woman represents false religion, right? And verse 1 in chapter 17 of Revelation, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Right? This is sounding awfully familiar, right? In Revelation, it often familiar to Proverbs and how it describes the strange woman, right? Strange religion, right? In verse 3, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness and saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple, scarlet in color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in the hand of her abominations and filthiness of her fornication, right? It's bringing up fornication and how she's dressed and, you know, how God doesn't want us dressed, right? It reminds me of, I think it was Thessalonians, where it's talking about how women should adorn themselves, right? Not with precious jewels and stones. And then in verse 5, and upon her forehead was the name written, Mystery Babylon, the great mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw a woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Right? Just like the strange woman that's physically trying to get us off that good path. Right? She's trying to allure us away. Right? With her fornication, with her subtle of heart, with her flattery, with her lies. Right? It's just like that with false religion. Right? It's the same thing. It's fornication, right? And then God describes Israel playing the harlot, right? Going after false gods, right? And that's what the world is doing, right? And that's what I believe at the end times, right? It's not a lot of people like address the Catholic Church here, where it's just like, oh, it's the Catholic Church, right? That is this great mystery Babylon. But I believe it's America if things don't change, right? But I believe that all the religions, right, that are not our religion, right? Our religion is the right religion, right? Faith alone in Jesus Christ, right? All the other religions are works-based, right? That's what they have in common, right? The religion of Abel and Seth, right here, faith, right? And Cain, works, right? They're all going to be unified in this, right? When the Antichrist comes, they're going to be unified, right? They're going to commit fornication with this false religion, and they're going to be drunk with the blood of the saints and their fornication, right? They're going to rip us down, right? And they would overcome us if it weren't for the Holy Spirit within us, right? Trust in God, right, with all thine heart, and lean not on thy own understanding, right? And if you look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, blessed is he that readeth, and that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Right? It's the same advice in Proverbs. My son, keep my commandments and hide thy, or keep my words and hide my commandments with thee. Right? Incline thy ear unto wisdom. Right? It's the same. We should be reading our Bible, especially Revelation. Right? It's a special book. Right? It's the end. Right? When I get to the Revelation, I'm like, I know the Bible's about to end. Now I want some more, right? I'm going to go back to Genesis, right? But it's a special book because it's telling us what's going to happen, right? We can prepare ourselves. We can understand what God hates, right? We have that knowledge, that understanding, and that wisdom to apply it if we read Revelation, right? And I'm just making that connection with the strange woman in End Times Babylon. It's just that simple, right? We want to stay away from the things that God hates. And it's not just a strange woman. It's false religion, false doctrine, false brethren. Right? We want to get them out of here. Right? We don't want to be around them. God doesn't want us around them. Right? We shouldn't be listening to these people. Understanding wisdom. Right? Understanding knowledge, the knowledge of the holy. Right? That's our armor. This is our armor right here. Right? If we know this, right, we'll have the best chance possible. Amen. Amen. And that's it. Amen. Well, let's end in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this church. Thank you for this opportunity to preach. And thank you for the salvations and your Holy Scripture. Please keep us safe as we drive home, as we travel home in fellowship. And we love you in your Son's name. Amen.
All right. Amen. Last song we're going to sing is song 43. Song 43, we're marching to Zion. Song 43 in your hymn books. Song number 43 in your hymn books. Marching to Zion on the first. Come we that love the Lord, and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord. Join in a song with sweet accord. And thus around the throne. And thus around the throne. We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God. But children of the heavenly King. But children of the heavenly King. May speak their joys abroad. We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. The hill of Zion yields 1,000 sacred sweets. Before we reach the heavenly fields, before we reach the heavenly fields, or walk the golden streets, or walk the golden streets. We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion, we're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Then let our songs abound and every tear be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground to fairer worlds on high, to fairer worlds on high. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. All right, great singing. Brother Landon, can you please open it, close us out with a word of prayer? Amen. You are dismissed.